Shaw and Partners, Andrew Kelleher. Good morning.
Very good morning, Mike.
Did you like 0.8 or not?
I did. We have it. We know how the economy was tracking at the beginning of the year. And not only that, we've rephrased some of the earlier measurements as well. So it's a bonus. 0.8, Mike, that's a pretty solid start to the year,
yes.
I think.
Yes,
it is. So 0.8% GDP growth compared to the previous quarter. So look, the quarterly number at the lower end of the range of forecasts. But that actually wasn't the story. The real story is the series of revisions to previous quarters that has lifted the annual number well above expectations. So the annual change, the March quarter compared to the March quarter a year ago, 1.5% above market expectations. You get, so the December quarter, that was revised from 0.2 to 0.5. That's a pretty material upgrade if you think about it. Explained away by new information on building work and agricultural output, some changes to the seasonality calcs as well. Per capita growth, Mike, arguably more descriptive of the actual impact of GDP on, you know, us, on the people, also positive, plus 0.5%. What was driving the quarter? Strong gains in manufacturing, retailing and wholesale trade. And actually, I think Mr. Dickens was talking about sort of querying why manufacturing was so strong. You've got to remember, manufacturing includes the processing of food, meat and dairy. So that gives you a little clue. Construction activity fell. That's likely to remain subdued in the second quarter, I think, the one we're in right now. So you've got two quarters of decline in a row now in construction. Residential construction looking probably the weakest it's looked in over a decade. Annually, you've now got a 3.8% fall in activity there, so that is problematic. But what it's all telling us is that there was momentum, is the economy, as we entered the Middle East conflict. We all know the agri sector is going well. Tourism continues a steady recovery. But the interesting thing about this, the growth was more widespread, Mike. It was more broad-based. So you've got activity increasing in, when I look at it, 9 out of the 16 industry classification. Actually, if you look at it, the primary sector, that actually fell, which seems a bit unusual, but it was negatively affected by forestry and mining. So agriculture wasn't up enough to offset that. Look, it's pretty historic, though, isn't it? I mean, we're now running. But look, what it basically tells us, Mike, is that we were running faster than we thought we were when we hit the economic headwind of higher oil prices. What really matters now is how much we pulled back into our shells in Q2 and how quickly can we rebound out of it. I think we can rebound.
Yes.
And I think if you look at Q1 of this year, if you look at Q4 of last year, it shows we can get along at quite a clip at the moment as long as we switch. I think it comes down to
its mentality.
It's sentiment. If we lift the sentiment, I actually think we'll be okay.
You got to want to be well. Is my fundamental philosophy in life. Since we last talked, Kevin had a word. What did you make of that?
Well, I think it's important. So yeah, we circle back to the Federal Reserve to use a current sort of business saying. U.S. interest rates, the direction, the nominal level, they all have global consequences, Mike, and importance. What happens to U.S. interest rates affects us. Our rates are still highly correlated to what happens in the U.S. interest rate market. So yesterday morning, we only talked about sort of the immediate reaction to the Fed statement. Then the new chair, Kevin Warsh, held his press conference. Now, there has been uncertainty or speculation as to how Warsh would sort of position himself. We know he's, let's just say euphemistically, that he's a little closer to the U.S. administration than his predecessor was. But the tone of the press conference seemed to have sort of assuaged concerns about his commitment to contain inflation. This is very important. He was very firm on that. His words, he pledged that the committee would unambiguously and unanimously deliver price stability. Now, he has announced 5 task forces to review work streams, which suggests that changes are coming. We probably won't see them until next year. The immediate market reaction, Mike, I think, was actually overwhelmed a bit by the fact that, as you were saying before, it would appear that we have oil flowing through the Strait of Hormuz, and what was happening in the Middle East conflict, I think, was probably more important on the day than those likely changes that we're going to see to the Federal Reserve over time.
Lay some numbers on me.
Well, looking pretty good. Dow Jones is up 157 points, 0.3%, 51,645. The S&P 500 up over 1%, 76 points, 7496 the mark there. And the NASDAQ up 1.6%, 409 points, 26,431. Happy days. The FTSE 100 down 1% overnight, 10,399. The Nikkei up 1.6% over 1,000 points, 71,053. The Shanghai Composite lost 0.43, 4090, so the Chinese market a little weaker. The Aussies lost 55 points in the ASX 200 yesterday, 0.62%. We had a small loss in the NZX 50, 13,363. The Kiwi dollar has fallen post the Fed. That's because stronger US dollar, 0.5756, so languishing back there, 0.8201.
One of my Visa bill is what it is.
Mike, you'll be pleased to know it's holding up against the pound, 0.4357, 0.5021 against the euro, 92.91 Japanese yen, gold, $4,230. Now, Brent crude.
Here we go.
Well, my litmus test of whether or not this thing was over was, were the boats going through the Strait of Hormuz with oil in them unimpeded? And the answer to that would appear this morning to be yes. So we have oil at $78.75, still above where it was prior to the conflict. But I think there's going to be a geopolitical risk premium built in for a little while before we get back there.
I think you're right. You have a great weekend. Andrew Kelleher, Shaw and Partners.